Her mind is a haunted house. The woman named Lara looks up at an imagined noise. Folding away the letter she has been rereading, she moves towards the window with its high view of the garden. Out there, the dawn sky is filling up with light, though a few of last night's stars are still visible. She turns after a while and crosses over to the circular mirror leaning against the far wall. Bringing it to the center of the room, she places it face up on the floor, gently, soundlessly, a kindness towards her host, who is asleep in an adjoining room. In the mirror, she ignores her own image, examining the reflection of the ceiling instead, lit by the pale early light. The mirror is large. If it was water, she could dive and disappear into it without touching the sides. On the wide ceiling are hundreds of books, each held in place by an iron nail hammered through it, a spike driven through the pages of history, a spike through the pages of love, a spike through the sacred. Kneeling on the dusty floor at the mirror's edge, she tries to read the titles. The words are reversed, but that is easier than looking up for entire minutes would be. There is no sound except her own slow breathing, and from outside, the breeze trailing its rippling robes through the overgrown garden. She slides the mirror along the floor, as though visiting another section of a library. The books are all up there, the large ones as well as those that are no thicker than the walls of the human heart. Occasionally, one of them falls by itself in an interior because its hold has weakened, or it may be brought down when desired with the judicious tapping of a bamboo pole. A native of the faraway St. Petersburg, what a long journey she has made to be here, this land that Alexander the Great had passed through on his unicorn, an area of fabled orchards and thick mulberry forests, of pomegranates that appear in the border decorations of Persian manuscripts written 1,000 years ago. Her host's name is Marcus Caldwell, an Englishman who has spent most of his life here in Afghanistan, having married an Afghan woman. He is 70 years old, and his white beard and deliberate movements recall a prophet in wreckage. She hasn't been here for many days, so there is hesitancy in her still regarding Marcus's missing left hand. The skin cup he could make with the palms of his hands is broken in half. She had asked late one evening, delicately, but he seemed unwilling to be drawn on the subject. In any case, no explanations are needed in this country. It would be no surprise if the trees and vines of Afghanistan suspended their growth one day, fearful that if their roots were to lengthen, they might come into contact with a landmine buried nearby. She lifts her hand to her face and inhales the scent of sandalwood deposited onto the fingers by the mirror's frame. The wood of a living sandal tree has no fragrance, Marcus said the other day, the perfume materializing only after the cutting down, like the soul vacating the body after death, she thinks.